Welcome to Subtle Beast, everybody. I am your host, Folt, sitting here with my co-host and lifelong friend, Mr. Steve Apostolopoulos. Steve, how are you, brother?
I'm doing good, Folt. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. Doing really, really well. Typically, we would start off by saying, hey, what have you been doing this week? Hadn't seen you, but you and I teamed up this past weekend, packed up the car, and voyaged up to New York City to see one of our favorite bands.
The Big Apple. We took New York City by storm.
We did. Steve and I, for the last 20-plus years, have enjoyed going to see the band Phish play on as many occasions as possible as we could. It was one of the biggest parts of our lives growing up. I know Steve had even mentioned when we were at the show, we've been seeing Phish now longer than we hadn't been. Right. So Phish has been a really big part of our lives, and it's how we used to relax and just, you know, kick loose and have some fun. And we used to do lots and lots of shows. But, you know, as families come along, we like to try and catch a show when we can. And that came up. Phish was doing a 13-night stand at MSG, and we were there.
It was fantastic. It was night 8, I believe.
Right.
And great show, fantastic songs. Fultz and I had a great time the whole time together. Had some beers and relaxed, told old stories, and got to catch the band again. So very good feeling. Made me feel nice and young and refreshed and rejuvenated.
Definitely. Yeah. It's so much fun. Even if you're not into that type of music, just even going to check out a parking lot scene is a good time. New York City might not be the best place to do it because there's not really much of a parking lot scene. There's parking garages and everyone just kinds of hangs out front, but it's a good time, and I'm glad we got a chance to get together. And we didn't, a lot of people just went up there for the show. You and I were some old bros riding the subway around. And
that feeling, man, right before we got on the subway, we kind of looked at each other. That was only the second time I've ever ridden the New York City subway. And but there was a little unsureness.
There was, because I remember you trying to look at the map and trying to figure out, you know, where we're headed. And I was like, should we bag this idea? And Steve was like, no, we're pressing forward. And made it down to Battery Park and saw the Statue of Liberty. And
very cool, man. That ferry boat that takes you over to Liberty Island and Ellis Island, that was really cool just watching the boat launch.
Yeah, I mean, if we would have had a better idea of how much time we really had, that would have been something that we could have done. But we were keeping an eye on the clock, and we wanted to go check out the Freedom Tower and what they have done to set up for the 9/11 Memorial. And that was really something as well.
That was breathtaking, just walking up on it. The Freedom Tower, you can see from anywhere in New York City. So we were kind of drawn to it. And a lot of times you can't tell a perspective, like how close or far something is when it's that large.
Right.
So we just started walking towards it, and we realized that we could get there no problem. Like, we were going to walk right up on it.
Yeah, that's what we did.
So as we were walking right up on it, we came to the site of the former Twin Towers. And each one of those is now a huge memorial that is absolutely breathtaking.
Waterfalls, everybody's name who lost their lives in the tragedy is somewhere between the two buildings.
The sunken waterfalls are so vast that standing from one side looking across to the other side, it's the exact space that the tower took up. So
yep.
It's the size of a building, and it's just so amazing to see and be there in person.
Yeah, I know. I tried to take a panoramic, and it almost didn't even fit in totally. So it's a big sight.
And we left the first one and continued to walk towards the Freedom Tower and got to the second World Trade Center Tower. And they had an exact replica of the first fountain and site and a second fountain site right there. So we got to enjoy both of them. And you get a real good perspective as to the way it was laid out, the entire park area. And just being that close and looking up at the Freedom Tower is so impressive.
It was. It really was. And then the cap off the night with a great band and great music, and And we wasted no time and got in the car after the show and headed back to PA. And
oh, how about the guy that asked you where Brooklyn was?
Yeah, I guess I must have looked like I was from New York City, because the guy sitting across was on the subway was like, "Hey, how do you get to Brooklyn? Do I got to get off and go the other way?" I just said, "Yep, you got to get off and go the other way."
Train came to a halt. The guy got up and walked away. Like, Foltz knew exactly what he was talking about. It was great.
Yeah, and Steve made a good point, too. He was like, what if that's this guy's bag? Like, what if he gets on the subway and they trying to find out if you're a tourist or not? Like, if you don't know where Brooklyn is, then you're getting jumped.
Right, like, if you say, I don't know which way Brooklyn is, he's like, I know that you're...
Yep, I'm going to follow these guys.
Getting off behind you.
I saved the day by giving him directions to Brooklyn, by just basically repeating what he said.
Right. You just kind of repeated it right back to him and just said, yeah, you need to get off here.
Hey, if in any case, maybe I saved us. Who knows?
Plus, it was like a time warp on the way home. New York to Harrisburg, right here in the Colonial Park region, 2.5 hours.
Yeah, that was amazing time we made.
I couldn't believe that, you know, in 2.5 hours, we went from literally the center of New York City,
one of the biggest cities, most popular cities in the world,
right back home.
Yep.
Right back to the couch.
Yep. So I got in bed around 3 a.m. that morning. I slept until about 1 in the afternoon. I was happy that I got some sleep, because later on that night, we had a visitor into our house, and he was not invited, and definitely I wanted to get this visitor out right away. We had a bat in our house.
Ah!
Yeah, so I was down in my basement, and I was playing Xbox with my son, and we have an Xbox up on our other floor, which he was, and I was like, we were on our headsets, and I was like, yo, there's a bat down here. He didn't really believe me at first, but which I don't know why, because usually around once a year we'll get a bat in here, but I had the bat contained in the basement, and it got under the little crack in the door. So then it was flying around our main level. Well, me and my son teamed up, as brave as we both are, and pretty much got it contained to the kitchen, and then it got it out the patio door, and it was on. But we were glad that it was gone. I put a little note on the back door from when my wife got up. I was like, don't open this door. I had a bat out there last night. Don't know if he's still there on the back porch, but what?
Classic, dude. I love it.
Yeah. So, but I'll tell you what, I mean, trying to get this bat to where we wanted it to go, I mean, it did go smoothly, but as we got the bat in the area that we were in, I mean, it was dive bombing us and everything. I mean, we looked ridiculous. We had like these blankets over our heads so that it didn't dive at our hair. But seeing this bat up close right in my face a couple times, it reminded me a lot of the Mothman from the Mothman Prophecies.
Yeah, man.
I mean, it just, I love that movie. And what was interesting enough is that I had just talked to one of my sons about the movie, and we just recently watched it. And then we get
Richard Gere.
Yeah, Richard Gere. Good one. And the redhead that used to be in that one TV show, I forget.
Right.
But yeah, she Deborah Messing.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, she's in that. And great movie. You've seen the movie, correct?
I have seen the movie. Yes, I have. Enjoyed it. Creeped me out. But yeah, let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's definitely do that. Let's jump right in and discuss the Mothman, because very interesting, to say the least. Let's kick it off. Now, the story of the Mothman is a story of half-human and half-moth-like creature that is known all around the world as the Mothman. There's some history on where the Mothman was cited the most. Mothman is now a legendary staple, especially in folklore of West Virginia. A couple of years ago, the city of Point Pleasant, which is the city where that the movie took place in, dedicated a statue to commemorate the 40th anniversary of the Mothman, which is very cool.
I've seen the statue.
I have too. It looks really, really neat.
Very cool statue.
And a majority of the sightings of the Mothman creature were from an area just north of the Point Pleasant area. It's an area known as TNT. And the reason how it got the name TNT is quite simple, actually. During World War II, the TNT area was built as West Virginia Ordnance Works by the Department of Defense. Now, the facility produced ammunition during the war years. The facility itself was shut down and disposed of after World War II had ended. It would not be the last that the TNT area would be heard from again, though. The TNT area is now used as an airport, a landfill, an industrial park, and wildlife management area. This must be some area.
Yeah.
In 1979, a fisherman reported red water seepage at the site. Around 1981, environmental work found TNT, DNT, and other residuals that had contaminated the water in and around the management area. And as of 2007, the cleanup of the contaminants had not been completed and is not expected to be finished until around 2020 at the earliest.
So that is a long cleanup.
That is. I mean, there was some major issues there. But so the Mothman itself is often described as a humanoid figure, usually described around 7 feet tall, with a massive wingspan and hypnotic glowing red eyes. The creature of legend known as the Mothman seems to be connected to tragic events. Across the world, witnesses claim to have seen a creature of this description, with sightings becoming more frequent in the days leading up to horrific events. The two bridge collapses, the Chernobyl disaster, and even the 9/11 terrorist attacks were all allegedly preceded by Mothman sightings. Now, you might say, well, what is the Mothman? Well, it could be a cryptid like Bigfoot or something otherworldly, perhaps extraterrestrial in origin even. And, you know, I can get along with that.
I know that.
Reports of strange lights in the sky, an unnerving humming sound, and electrical interferences have all been tied to Mothman sightings. Many have asked about this creature's possible motives. Could it be causing these disasters, or should its presence be considered as a warning of what's to come? The Mothman possesses blood-curdling shriek that's been known to make those who hear it experience nausea and vertigo.
Jeez.
Now, we do have some stories of real people who have claimed to see the Mothman and what their disasters are and what they have experiences or nearly averted. I just wanted to make sure I was looking at the right stories here. So I'm going to kick it off here with one of the first and famous sightings. There was two young couples who were chased down Route 62 by the Mothman. On November 15th, 1966, there was two couples, Roger and Linda Scarberry and Steve and Mary Millette. They were driving past a TNT plant when they saw a humanoid figure with glowing red eyes. Linda described what they saw on the side of the road as bird-like humanoid creature with a large wingspan and fiery red eyes. She said it was about 7 feet tall. Its wings folded against its back. You could see muscles in its legs, she recalled. The creature followed them as they drove back towards Point Pleasant on Route 62, and then it veered off into the fields and disappeared. The group went straight to the Mason County Police Department to share their terrifying account, which soon made its way into the local papers. Linda Scarberry was quoted as saying, "I wish we had never seen it. I wish someone else had seen it."
That's a natural thing.
Right? That's definitely.
A natural thing to think.
Now, of course, we were talking about at the beginning of the when we started talking about the Mothman, which was the Mothman movie. And this little snippet of story right here is what the movie was based on. The Mothman haunted Point Pleasant prior to the Silver Bridge collapse. The first of a series of strange sightings actually took place about 85 miles away from Point Pleasant in Clendenin, West Virginia. Five gray diggers heard a rustling in the trees overhead and looked up to find what they claimed was a flying man directly above them. Over the next few days, more reports started trickling in. Two volunteer firemen described a large bird with red eyes. at least 100 reports from people of all ages circulated throughout Point Pleasant between November of 66 and December of 1967, describing a monster that was able to ascend straight up into the air like a helicopter. All of the witnesses described the same birdman with glowing, hypnotic red eyes and the wings of a bat. Mary Hyrie, a reporter at the time of the Mothman sightings, received over 500 phone calls, not only about this mysterious creature, but also strange lights in the sky, electrical interferences, mysterious humming sounds, and UFO sightings. Then, on December 15th, 1967, a year after the Mothman sightings began, tragedy struck. During rush hour traffic, the Silver Bridge collapsed, 46 people died, and the Mothman disappeared and hasn't been seen in Point Pleasant since.
Now that is, that Silver Bridge collapsing is crazy.
It really is. I mean, I've read through a lot of documentation covering just this particular Point Pleasant Mothman experience, of course, because of seeing the movie and just looking into what was accurate and what was not. I mean, but there was a lot of actual events that took place in Point Pleasant during the Mothman sighting that was covered in the movie. And I have to say, the very first time I saw this movie, well, even to now, I mean, I'll watch it maybe, you know, once every couple years, and it's just one of those movies that has the hair on your back of your neck standing on your arms. And it's just, it's really creepy to think that, you know, this movie is based on a true story of the sighting of this Mothman. But, you know, to this day though, nobody's really sure whether this Mothman is something bad or something good. Now, other than Point Pleasant, it's been seen around the world. And Steve, why don't you kick us off with, where else the Mothman has been seen?
Other sightings include reports of Mothman standing in the front yards of people's homes. One such sighting was reported on November 26th in Charleston, west of our current location, where Mothman was reported to have been standing in the front yard of a woman's home. Later that day, two children in the St. Albans area of Kanawha County had reported the creature flying over town. Sightings of Mothman were reported as far east as Campbell's Creek and Cedar Grove in Kanawha County. One of the last few sightings of the Mothman occurred on January 11th of 1967. This sighting came just months before the collapse of the Silver Bridge on the night of December 15th, 1967. Now that bridge collapse on December 15th, that's right before Christmas.
Right.
So that dream-like state of, was it like a dream where the presents were in the river?
Right, in the movie,
right.
Right. She was saying, I had this dream last night that I was in the ocean surrounded by presents, and I was being told, wake up, number 37.
Right.
Because in the movie, they had 37 people die versus the 46, and that's why she was saying that.
Right. So she was dreaming of falling into the river and a bunch of presents surrounding her because of the presents, I guess, coming out of the cars.
Yeah, all the other cars that had fallen in. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yes, she had the premonition, and most people were saying that the Mothman was what made her had that premonition.
You know, it's also been said that the Mothman had appeared to warn people about the impending disaster that was about to befall the area a little over a year later. On the night of December 15th, 1967, tragedy struck the tri-state area when the Silver Bridge crossing the Ohio River between Point Pleasant, West Virginia, and Gallipolis, Ohio, collapsed into the murky waters of the Ohio River. It just so happened that when the bridge collapsed, there was a traffic jam on the bridge. 46 people died in the cold waters of the Ohio River on that night. Most of the victims' bodies were never recovered from the depths of the Ohio River. Most people in the area of Point Pleasant, West Virginia, either blamed or still blame the Mothman for this disaster. Some people blame other things, such as the curse that Chief Cornstalk laid upon the area before dying in 1777 at the hands of the colonists. Most people living in the area at the time of both sightings and the disaster saw Mothman as a demonic presence. I, for one, think the Mothman was a warning as to what was about to happen. I also believe that Mothman was not demonic. His origins were not demonic. For this creature to appear and then disappear 1 year almost to the day later is a mystery. For one, sightings of the Mothman in general areas suddenly stopped after the bridge collapse. However, sightings of the Mothman have not been only reported in that area. Sightings of this cryptid have been reported the world over, possibly for centuries before it was spotted here. As to whether or not the Mothman will make another appearance in this area, it remains to be seen. I, for one, believe that the Mothman may, in fact, one day return to the state of West Virginia. As for when it may be, we'll just have to wait and see. So was the Mothman a warning of the tragedy that was about to befall the area a year later? Or was it something not of this world? Perhaps it was demonic in nature? You know, those are just some of the questions surrounding the Mothman.
You know, I happen to believe from the studying I have done and all the reading and based on seeing the movie and such, I don't argue that the Mothman could be something not of this world, perhaps from a different dimension or something of that nature. But I don't think that the Mothman was a demonic entity or was there to harm anybody per se. I definitely think that the Mothman comes across more as a warning. Now, if you say that to some people, they might say, well, why didn't he communicate in detail what was going to happen so that it could be prevented? And I always look at it like this. In Christian faith, we all believe that God has given us free will, and people will sometimes say, well, how did God allow that to happen? Now, I'm not comparing the Mothman to God or anything, but I'm just trying to make a point. I always like to say, okay, well, picture yourself on top of a really big mountain, and you're looking out over this mountain, and you can see two trains that are traveling on the same track towards each other. You know it's going to happen. There's nothing you can do to stop it. I mean, you can try and yell and scream, but if there's no one there to hear you or to even understand what you're saying, based off if you're from a different dimension and it sounds like electronic pulses, sure, you see that this disaster is going to happen in the next 5-10 minutes. But there's nothing you can do to stop it, nor will you. So that's how I like to look at different scenarios. People say, well, if it was there as a warning, why didn't it come out and say, well, maybe it was unable to communicate in that way? Because that very question was asked in the movie by Richard Gere to a man that had based his life on studying the Mothman. And Richard Gere had stated, well, why doesn't he just tell us what he is or describe himself to us? And the theorist turned to him and said, have you ever tried to describe yourself to a cockroach? Meaning that the Mothman is so evolved, right, that where would you start? So,
right. Those, the phone calls in the movie were definitely weird.
Well, yeah, because after a while he had to start asking people, I talked to you on the phone earlier, right? And they'd be like, yeah, because a lot of the times it wasn't that person. They were trying to lead him somewhere to either help or, and that's another reason why I think that it was as a warning, because he got that one phone call from his friend the one day. It turned out not to be his friend, but his friend had wandered out into the woods and died. But that got him over there. Maybe it was, you know, trying to send him that way to help this man. Don't know, though.
Right. It seems as if the Mothman is like a precursor to like some devastating like disaster. To me, I mean, that's just, it seems,
well,
like,
sure,
the Mothman shows up, and this particular case back in 66 and 67 was a whole year of Mothman sightings before this bridge collapse. But I think that in other events, there has been some Mothman sightings, and it's just been like right before the disaster or a little bit before the disaster, but not for a whole year long. So the people of Point Pleasant got a real big warning as to what was going to come.
Sure did. And obviously, I mean, this was in a time before, you know, immediate gratification as far as news. I mean, there was no internet. I mean, granted, there was radio and newspaper, but for all these people to be reporting sightings and to have such a very close in nature description of this creature is it's pretty compelling, I think.
I agree. I think that
now
anytime that there is a whole collective that's all describing something as what it seemingly collectively is, then there's got to be something more to it there. I mean, all those people weren't all together like, hey, let's describe it as this, you know.
Well, sure. I was I had the pleasure of going to this UFO meeting one night where there's a guy who has been studying UFO abductions for years, and he actually had traveled to Africa and was able to go into a community that, you know, just lives off the land and, you know, lives in huts and such. He was trying to communicate with these people through a translator, and lo and behold, they got on the subject of UFO, and these people who have never had any contact with any outside sources or people were describing abductions by UFOs that were matching stories to a T of some of his patients back in the United States, which these people could have never had any encounters with or even known of these subjects. So it's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, it always fascinates me when a large group of people describe something that is unknown the same exact way. That kind of
definitely, I mean, that
adds
just
to the credibility.
It sure does. Now, other than Point Pleasant and that first couple or those two couples that went on record as the first documented sighting, Mothman has been seen lots of other places. There was a story about the Mothman saving the lives of miners in Friedberg, Germany. And that goes back to the late 70s. On September 10th, 1978, a group of miners in Friedberg, Germany came face to face with a seemingly headless creature with glowing red eyes on its chest, blocking the mine's entrance. At first, they thought it was a man in a trench coat, but they quickly realized it was not a coat, but unfurled large black wings. The men remained in the mine entrance, stunned and staring at the creature until it let out a blood-curdling screech that sent the miners scrambling out. About an hour later, the men felt a seismic rumble and witnessed a plume of dust shoot from the mine as it collapsed. If the men had gone to their stations in the mine as usual, the majority of them would have died. It appears as though what they dubbed the Friedberg Shrieker saved their lives.
It's fascinating.
That is a fascinating story because, I mean, you read that story over, you do the simple math, 1 + 1. I mean, you have to take that as a warning and not, I mean, if it wanted to do harm to him, obviously it would have. The people were just standing there in shock. So all it really knew to do in its capacity to communicate with humans is if I shriek, these people were going to scramble. And sure enough, they did. And ultimately ended up saving their lives.
You know, I could just imagine a large gathering, maybe a Harrisburg Senators game or some fireworks presentation down at the Susquehanna River.
Right.
You're there with a whole group of people, and all of a sudden, the Mothman appears, and a bunch of subtle beast listeners all yell out, "The Mothman is a warning. It's a symbol that means that there's disaster about to strike."
Right, right.
So us getting this information out to everyone could save lives. If you see a Mothman out there, man, something's going to happen. Something bad's about to happen.
Yeah, keep your family indoors for a few days at least.
You know, the Mothman tried to warn people of the Fukushima disaster.
Oh, really?
Marcus Pules, an American visiting Japan, was out with a friend near the Fukushima plant when suddenly they heard a loud whooshing sound and a terrible screeching. As they looked back towards the plant, they saw a figure that Pules described as a large and black figure. From the distance, it looked to be sitting on top of one of the square-shaped buildings. It sat there for about 5 seconds, and then it unfurled a large set of what I could only describe as large black wings. The creature took flight, circling the plant a few times before it came closer to them. That's when I noticed the two large red eyes. They seemed to glow from within and had a blood-red hue. They were unblinking. In the 3 to 4 seconds we saw them, we knew they were looking straight at us. We knew this creature. He could see us, and he made no attempt to disguise itself. Pules described it, describes an immense feeling of dread that washed over him, and the creature vanished as quickly as it had appeared. It wasn't until Pules went back to America, and then hearing on CNN about the devastation of the Japanese earthquake and the explosions at the very same nuclear power plant where he had witnessed the creature, that he realized he may have seen the infamous harbinger of disaster known as the Mothman.
I think without question he did.
I think so too, man.
That's just got to grab you from your inner core if something like that happens. You see this creature that's infamous for being around during tragedies. I'll tell you, man, if I was Pules, I'd have been worried about the flight back to the United States if I had seen the Mothman.
Right. If you catch a Mothman right before you're getting on an airplane, do you get on it?
I mean, I don't know what.
Do you stay? Like, because it.
That I don't know. Is it warning you away? See, that's where the confusion builds. Should I stay or should I go?
Yeah, it's just like the original story that we were discussing, man, that those people didn't know that bridge was going to collapse because the Mothman was there for so long.
Yeah, a year. I mean, because and 46 lives were lost. I mean, I don't know how many lives were lost in Fukushima. Now, maybe others had been seeing the Mothman prior to that in that region, but you know, this American that was there, he saw it himself, and he's alive to tell the tale, which has got to be just bone-chilling for him. But a little closer to home with a Mothman sighting was the Mothman was actually hanging around the Twin Towers the week of the 9/11 attacks.
Jeez.
Yeah. During the days leading up to the terrorist attacks on September 11, 2001, several people reported sightings of a black-winged creature flying near the Twin Towers. During the attack, as the second plane hit, eyewitnesses reported a creature flying parallel to the plane. And in the days that followed, those reporting the creature were allegedly approached by, you guessed it, men in black, and warned to stop talking about what they saw.
The infamous.
So, with people saying they're not quite sure if this is you know, something demonic or if it's something from another dimension. If the men in black are showing up, I'm going to have to lead towards, not to say that something demonic's not from another dimension, because obviously it is, but the men in black are showing up when something is extraterrestrial or
outer worldly,
unexplained, not wanting the public to know. Which, you know, begs the question, if the men in black are showing up on these occasions and warning people, is our government aware of what the Mothman is and, what its intents are? Because if people are showing up around the time of the 9/11 and saying they've seen the Mothman as a warning, is our government sending the men in black? Are they afraid that maybe word will get out that, who knows, that it was an inside job, maybe, or they don't want that type of information getting out. Who knows? But for some reason, it seems that when the men in black are sent on to a situation that they want all information stopping and all discussions of these happenings to just end dead in their tracks.
And there was some eyewitnesses that stated in Point Pleasant back in 1967 that they had seen the men in black and that they had pulled up in that classic black vehicle, and they said that the interior looked brand new and futuristic, even though the exterior of the car was like an older model, like a 10 to 15, 20 year old car, but the interior of the car was pristine, and the people that were inside it were dressed in black suits. And also there were some eyewitnesses from back in Point Pleasant that described the Mothman as possibly an angel.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, that's one that we haven't touched on, is that there could be a foreseeing, an angel that's foreseeing these disasters and is trying to warn people, but not from a demonic state, but from a heavenly state.
Yeah, and maybe it's in a case of an angel trying to earn its wings, maybe. And who knows, maybe he's been bound to Earth for 1,000 years, and when it can prevent enough disasters, it, earns its rights in some way.
You know, the Mothman is believed to have been around for the worst nuclear accident in history.
You referring to Chernobyl?
I am. The Mothman is connected to Chernobyl.
Wow.
Throughout 1985, many scientists and other workers at the nuclear power plant in Chernobyl, Ukraine, claimed to see a huge black bird-like creature with the body of a man flying around the plant. Those who saw the red-eyed beast also reported a series of strange, harassing phone calls and a string of nightmares leading up to the disaster explosion in April of 1986. On April 26, 1986, the day of the accident, several people saw a huge black bird actually flying around the smoke after the explosion. Even those in the nearby town of Pripyat claimed they had seen the strange creature that became known as the Black Bird of Chernobyl in the days leading up to the disaster. Pripyat was also affected and later evacuated because of the harmful radiation.
That's an amazing story.
Yeah, it seems like this predictor or precursor was flying. And those nightmares, man, that part of it is really creepy.
That is. But you would think that when people would start to see this, I mean, in a place like Chernobyl, if you're seeing this creature, and by 1985, I'm sure the stories were out of tragedies happening. Wouldn't you think, okay, we're in Chernobyl, nuclear power plant, something got to be going down here. Maybe we need to get out of Dodge. But it's crazy to me how people even in the next towns were reporting this same creature. Yeah, than the days leading up to this disaster. I mean, and this is a huge disaster because you still can't go anywhere near that city of Chernobyl without a radiation suit because it's just terrible.
Yeah, I've seen documentaries on Chernobyl, and that one, we had, the partial meltdown of Three Mile Island here in Pennsylvania.
77, I believe.
And it was not anywhere near the scale of Chernobyl.
No, not at all.
They're not going to be able to go back to Chernobyl for another, 60 years, the half-life.
Yeah, yep.
That's amazing.
That really is. Now, We discussed about the Point Pleasant Bridge coming down where there was a sighting for over a year of the Mothman. Well, here's another case of something similar. The Mothman appeared at the site of the Interstate 35 West Bridge collapse. The Mothman was spotted at yet another bridge collapse in 2007. Eerily enough, the I-35 West Bridge in Minneapolis, Minnesota, was open for traffic in 1967, the same year the Silver Bridge collapsed. Then, on August 1st, 2007, after a month of Mothman sightings, the I-35 West Bridge collapsed during rush hour, taking the lives of 13 people with it and injuring more than 145 people.
Man, I remember that.
Yeah, I do too. It was terrible.
It was.
Reports of the Mothman began trickling in on June 27th, 2007, preceding the collapse by a mere month. Many claimed to see the humanoid creature flapping its massive wings in the surrounding area and at the bridge itself. An Illinois woman witnessed the creepy cryptid while driving just outside of Stuartville, Minnesota on June 27, 2007. called paranormal radio show host George Norrie on Coast to Coast AM and described the creature as having huge wing span about the width of a Ford vehicle.
Oh, man.
That's something.
Dude, I'm starting to get a little creeped out.
I'd like to hear that Coast to Coast, to hear if they say, oh, well, maybe it was the Mothman and maybe there's going to be a tragedy. I wonder what they discussed. We're going to have to see if maybe we can pull up that Coast to Coast from 07.
Yeah, we should definitely take a look at that. Like I said, the more that we talk about this, the more I start to think, man, if all these people are seeing this, you know, like these precursors to these disasters are so clear.
Really is convincing and compelling.
You know, taking it back to November 13th of 1966 in Salem, West Virginia, Merle Partridge heard a loud noise outside of his home, about 90 miles from Point Pleasant, where we've been discussing. During an interview in Eyes of the Mothman, he recalled his television making a high-pitched whining sound and his dog barking wildly. After going outside to investigate, Partridge was startled by two glowing red eyes that belonged to no animal he'd ever seen before. He also described eerie flashing red lights that seemed to be dancing around him. His hunting dog took off after the creature, and that was the last he'd ever seen of either.
Jeez.
He went out to search for his dog with his friends the next day, but the dog was never seen again. The combination of hundreds of Mothman sightings in the area that year, claims of red lights dancing over the TNT plant, and electrical interference during these sightings has led to speculation that the Mothman might have extraterrestrial origins.
I'd have to agree, because I mean, what do you put the term extraterrestrial on? I mean, someone who's not from this, from our specific world, he's not terrestrial.
Right,
to
yeah,
hear.
Terrestrial.
So, I mean, he might not necessarily be some spaceman from outer space, but he could definitely be from some alternate or different dimension, and hence that would make him extraterrestrial in origin.
Right, a heavenly body or an alternate dimension for sure.
Definitely. Again, get this. There was an eyewitness in Wisconsin that says the Mothman attacked his car.
Jeez.
September 2006, La Crosse, Wisconsin. A Cherokee man and his son were driving down an isolated stretch of road at night when the Mothman attacked them. An interview on Monster Quest, he shared his encounter. He told how the creature flew alongside and then directly in front of their windshield, close enough to touch. They got a really good look at it, describing it as bat-like and fleshy with sparse hair and red eyes and the size of road reflectors. He described the monster's high-pitched screech that gave them vertigo and made them sick to their stomach. The man's son pulled over and threw up on the side of the road. After returning to the location a few days later, in the daytime, of course, all they found left behind was a deer carcass they later blamed on a poacher.
Jeez.
Now, this is really interesting to say that the Mothman had attacked their car. I mean, we don't know necessarily if he was attacking the car, if he was warning the man of something. Now, in the movie Mothman Prophecies, when the Mothman got close to a car or to an object that flew by, it like burned an imprint of itself into it almost.
Yeah, it was that the belly of the beast, like, emblem.
Right, that everyone was, like, kind of sketching everywhere. And
it was like wings spread open, like, you could see the red eyes. And
it looked terrifying.
It did. And everybody was sketching it the same exact way.
Yeah, totally craziness.
So, yeah, the Mothman has been linked to a lot of different things in a lot of different places. He has been linked to the swine flu outbreak in Mexico. Some believe the large, hairy, red-eyed creature, the people of La Junta, Mexico, began to see stalking the area in 2009, was the legendary Mothman. The sightings occurred around the same time leading up to the 2009 swine flu outbreak in Mexico. Two witnesses, Angela and Viviana, experienced pure terror as they heard the creature's screeches emanating from an apple orchard near a cemetery. A student who requested to remain anonymous reported the Mothman chasing him for 15 minutes on the night of March 6, 2009. Despite the best efforts of the local authorities to hunt down the entity, no traces were ever found of it.
Wow. That's interesting. Because, you know, after hearing that story, it makes me think of something else. I mean, when we had stated earlier that perhaps this entity is an angel, maybe it's the angel of death.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, maybe it's just showing up because there's going to be a lot of people transitioning from this world into the next. And who knows? Maybe the Mothman is the caretaker of that transition. Who knows?
Dude, every time you see like the Angel of Death sketched, it is sketched exactly like that.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, people have reported over the years seeing the Grim Reaper right before they died. Who knows? I mean, maybe they're one and the same, and it takes on different form. I mean, but the Grim Reaper's dressed in all black. It's kind of like shreddy material and such.
And shadowy, like you could imagine, like if you were on your dying bed and you were kind of like seeing fleeting glimpses of things, and, you know, out of the corner of your eye, you see a shadow of the darkness coming.
Yeah, I mean, my grandfather, my dad's dad, who was, a man's man. I mean, he worked on the railroad. He was in World War II. I mean, he was a tough man, and he didn't really believe in a whole lot of quote unquote nonsense. But my dad told a story of a time he was at his parents' house for dinner, and he looked over at his dad, and his dad looked pale white, and he said to him, "Dad, what's wrong?" He said, "I looked into the kitchen out the window, and the Grim Reaper was standing there looking in at me." And it was a couple weeks later that he passed away.
Wow.
So, I mean, there's a man that didn't really believe in too much except for God. And then looking like he saw the Grim Reaper, and turns out he saw the Grim Reaper, which is a pretty crazy story.
Yeah, it is. It's all kind of interconnected there.
Yeah. Now, one of the last examples I have of the Mothman being cited was the Mothman may have signaled the deadly Xiantai Dam disaster. A region in southeast China was plagued with sightings of a figure that resembled the Mothman in early January 1926. 26, dubbed by locals as the Man Dragon, the shadowy, ominous figure was seen hovering above the Xiantai Dam. Then disaster hit the surrounding farming villages in the form of 40 billion gallons of water.
Jeez.
The dam collapsed, resulting in the deaths of 15,000 people.
Wow.
Well, if the Mothman was going to show up anywhere, it sounds like the Xiantai Dam disaster is where he would be seen.
I love the explanation or the description as the Man Dragon.
Yeah.
Because in a lot of the imaging of the creature in the air, it does kind of look more like a man dragon than like a, you know, like a bat or like the way that the positioning is of the body kind of reminds me of the elongated neck of a dragon.
Well, sure. And when you look into the past with the Chinese, when they try and describe what they believe was extraterrestrials or men from space, they said these entities came down on a fiery dragon, because a dragon is a symbol of the Chinese that, you know, that they're familiar with. So a fiery dragon for them could have just been a big cigar-shaped fuselage UFO, you know, coming through the atmosphere looking like a dragon on fire. So they're describing these encounters as best they can.
You know, another explanation, according to what Agent Mulder, not of the X-Files,
okay,
might call a non-believer, is that the Mothman is nothing that can't be found in the natural world, in particular a barn owl.
Okay.
This particular owl does, after all, fit the Mothman criteria, with wingspan when fully extended, makes the bird seem larger than it actually is. Their eyes, which also appear to be mounted on a headless torso, reflect a distinctly eerie red when flashlights or headlights glow upon them, and they emit a kind of screeching sound for which the Mothman is also known. So this could be a possible explanation.
Well, it could be. But my question would be, if you're seeing it up that close, when you're reporting this, are you just embellishing, or were you in such fear for your life that for some reason this barn owl looked like it was 7 feet tall with the wingspan of that of a Ford?
I know. I mean, it's odd, but if there is a trick where perspective is in play, there's a way that we always take pictures of game. When you take down an animal and you're getting that picture of the kill out there in the woods, you always put the game up close to the camera and then sit back a little bit off of it so that the game can really get the best of the perspective, and you're kind of secondary in the picture. So
definitely in a lot of fishing pictures, that's what they do. They'll hold the fish closer to the lens so that it looks bigger.
Right, and it's just a perspective of the eye. So, and it could be, a smaller animal, but over the years, either it's been embellished from the perspective of the viewer, or maybe it's just a larger animal of that size.
Very true. And you know what? I mean, since we did go through here and, give a description of the Mothman and different encounters and different disasters that took place, I guess, as in Subtle Beast fashion, maybe we should play devil's advocate for a minute. And let's go through and name a few things with a brief description of what possibly other than the actual Mothman entity that it could be. Now, one of the things that I've come across is people are just straight up saying alien. About the time that the Mothman sightings were being reported in such high volumes, also being reported and as sorted through and cataloged by paranormal researcher John Keel in his book, The Mothman Prophecies, were mysterious energy fields, glowing orbs, weird animal behaviors and disappearances and technology failures, loss of time, and the men in black who would visit the town and make threatening inquisitions, assuming generic pseudonyms like John Brown or Bob Smith. These things are also true of UFO folklore, which led to the connection, at least in people's minds, that the Mothman may be a kind of alien, but the fault there lies in the lack of necessary relationship between cause and correlation. The best way I could explain it is it's either A, extraterrestrial from some other star system, or it's an extraterrestrial from some other dimension. And
I like the other dimension. I like because it would be alien to us. It would be alien to our dimension.
Sure.
And it could be in a more spiritual state type of dimension where energy masses take on a different representation, and maybe there are many Mothmen.
There very well could be. And there's a theory that back when we were testing the atom bomb, that there was a lot of UFO sightings, and it wasn't too long after that where there was a lot of Mothman sightings either. There's a theory that when we were testing that, we kind of ripped the fabric of time and space, and could have altered a different dimension in some way. And some people say maybe these UFOs or these Mothmen are coming here to get us away from these dangerous technologies like these nuclear power plants, and maybe in the case of this old bridge that needs repaired, because when we set off that bomb, we did more damage on the other side than we did here. And these entities are coming here and saying, you know what, you guys need to slow your roll, because if you want to destroy your own world, that's fine. But now you've impacted where we live, and now we're going to have to try and do something about it.
That's when you know you've created a large bomb, is when it's so loud that people from the next dimension over are complaining about it.
Yeah, hey. Keep it down over there in that dimension.
Keep your dimension at a lower volume.
Yeah, stop messing with the splitting of the atom.
You're knocking stuff over here.
Send in the Mothman.
Well, you know, another explanation for the Mothman could be that it's a thunderbird. The Native Americans from the area surrounding Point Pleasant had stories of giant, terrible birds called thunderbirds that could easily swoop down and carry away a man. In their depictions and representations, the images resembled the Mothman, and thus they were lumped into the mix as some kind of continuing story, which opens itself up to the claims that sightings of the Mothman go as far back as the early 1600s.
Wow. And I, you know what? I have to... I'm fascinated by Native Americans, and I just... I love all the stories about them and their quote-unquote folklore. But, I mean, I've said it before in a past podcast. If anybody is ever to see entities or anything of them, Mothmen or extraterrestrials, it would be back when Native Americans were plentiful, roaming this country and living off the land, and there's no light pollution and this and that interfering. And I mean, the Native Americans, if there's something strange going on, I'm sure that they've seen it or witnessed it or know what it is, and you know, just accept it into their culture.
You know, on a side note, there's a buffalo farm between our houses.
Uh-huh.
So I drive by it. I always think of the Native Americans when I drive by that buffalo farm, because they were always known for taking a buffalo when they needed it and using every part of it and not letting any of it go to waste. But I this is the only place that I get to see buffalo, so I go by. They're huge, dude.
Oh, they are.
Oh, my gosh. And the meat's pretty good. They sell the meat up there. It's expensive. It's like $9.99 a pound, so it's more expensive than...
Are they labeling as bison?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I've had it really, really, really good.
Yeah, I think it's a good. It's a lean meat. Sometimes people will eat it when they're on a diet, but it's a good. It has a good flavor, and it reminds me of Native Americans when I drive by that.
They were eating good. And covering themselves up with it and carrying the bladder as a drinking utensil and
making teepees.
Yeah. Now, there is other explanations, I guess you could say. Some people are saying that it's just, you know, simply a mutant bird. The Mothman seemed to make its home about a former World War II munitions dump, which also used to be a bird sanctuary. This area, full of all sorts of underground tunnels, is also the site of where the creature was first spotted by a couple of young lovers. The area is called Lover's Lane, in how secluded it is. The theory is that amidst all the weird chemicals deposited in the area, a mutant kind of bird was born, and thus the Mothman. This also sounds a bit like how the Incredible Hulk was born. The bird may have been a strayed sandhill crane, a type of bird that stands almost as tall as a man with 7-foot wingspan and reddish eye circles. Well, you know what? That's probably the best that I've heard so far as an explanation. But even if it's a mutant bird and it was exposed to chemicals of this nature, I would happen to think that it would shorten its life and not being seen between 1926 and present day.
Dude, here's a picture of a sandhill crane.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I used to live in the South in Myrtle Beach, and we used to have cranes in our backyard all the time. So, I mean, when I said it was the best, I mean, you know what a crane looks like, and I'm saying that that's the best I've heard so far. You know I'm not putting up with any of these other things other than alien or extraterrestrial.
That, yeah, the red seepage from the area, the TNT, I mean, those things could have created a mutant where, you know, some human may have somehow gotten intermingled with the DNA or genetics of
sure
some large crane type moth creature.
Well, we have a power plant near us, close to us. It's called a 3 Mile Island, and there's been fishermen that have reported a two-headed and two-tailed fish swimming in the water near there. I hope they're just doing catch and release there, but
yeah, two tails would be one thing, two heads would be completely different. Like, that's yeah. So weird.
Oh, definitely.
So the thing that I said before for an explanation of the Mothman is that it's an angel. While the Mothman was visiting Point Pleasant, a series of disasters also coincidentally took place, including the collapse of the Silver Bridge, which resulted in a number of deaths. Also, there were phone calls author John Keel was receiving in which a mysterious person named Indrid Cold seemed capable of telepathy, and various others which carried premonitions that ended up coming true. A plane crash with the correct number of dead. These were invariably grouped in with the Mothman's stay, and the speculation was that this figure was either predicting these events or perhaps causing them. After the collapse of the Silver Bridge, the Mothman remained silent, as did reports of the strange activity.
That name, Indrid Cold, is just, I don't know, it makes me feel a certain way. It's just like, it's almost perfect. Like, if that's going to be the name of this entity, it just fits. Indrid Cold. It sounds otherworldly.
Dude, that one part that we were talking about pre-show where the Mothman said, or the question was, what do I have in my hand?
Chapstick. He's like, page 47, third sentence, and it starts reading it.
Yeah.
It's like, do you need any more convincing, John? Man, I have goosebumps all over my body right now.
I can see them from here.
My hair is standing straight up on my arms. It's so creepy.
It is, dude.
Now, if you want to go with a simple explanation of what the Mothman is, people are just going to call it a hoax. The man who brought the Mothman into the wide public attention in 1970 was named Gray Barker. He wrote Paranormal Matters and UFO Culture. He was also known to exploit these matters for financial gain, given their massive cult appeal, and to plant hoaxes to screw around with those who took UFO research seriously. John Keel, who wrote the comprehensive book on the Mothman in 1975, was known to associate with Keel and thus could have misled in a similar manner.
So they're saying that the whole thing could have just been an elaborate hoax.
I don't think so, but it could have been.
Yeah, these are just the explanations.
Yeah, now this next one's good because this is what you were saying.
Right, it could be faulty perception. You know, every individual who reported what they saw, a mysterious figure, glowing eyes, 7 feet tall, believed what they saw to be real, as does any UFO witness. But the fact of the matter is, all they had to rely in was their own human sense of perception and gullibility, which has a tendency to be faulty. Some people are willing to believe beyond a shadow of a doubt in what they have no proof of, or anything more than a hazy, fuzzy recollection, and thus they present a conflict of interest within themselves as inherently unreliable witnesses.
That's terrible, though, because, I mean, if you had a scare and you're confident in what you saw, the last thing you're going to want somebody to say is that you have faulty perception. You'd be like, hey, I know what I saw. If you don't believe me, fine.
You and I have seen some crazy stuff together. And looking back at those times, you know, the night on the farm with the crazy sounds and stuff, that perception to me could have been faulty. There could have been some gray, you know, around the edges.
Could have been. Now, other people, they're just saying, well, you know, it's just a man with wings. Play along now. Say the creature is exactly what witnesses say it is. After all, there have been numerous accounts whose stories largely corroborate at being alike. Say the creature exists in a world that fosters supernatural activity. If that were so, this being would be a 7-foot-tall man with wings and large red plate-like eyes fixed at the center of its torso. It would look and sound like Mortha. Imagine a world where these things came and went as they please. They usually, while most people were too distracted to notice or snap a picture. I'll tell you what, if I see this thing, the last thing I'm thinking is, grab your phone and take a picture.
I would be freaking out if I saw this thing.
I mean, it's where the old saying becoming petrified is. I mean, you're just like petrified wood. You can't move. You can't do anything. You could try and speak, but I don't think anything's coming out.
No, I just was picturing you and I standing there and the Mothman coming right up at us and like...
I'd be like, dude,
right?
Yeah. Dude.
We'd just be like standing there like...
Or you'd see us reach into our belts and be like... Shh,
shh. Yeah, the Mothman would be like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, that was the warning. It was for me.
These guys don't need any warning or protection.
Exactly.
And then this next explanation is it's a stretch.
Yeah, to say the least.
This one is that the Mothman is a plane or a flying machine.
Yeah, 1926.
Another theory from the school of skeptics is that the Mothman was, again, misidentified as a sort of flying machine or low-flying plane in the night, what might be confused with the UFO as well. This doesn't account for its ability to take off upright and without sound of a rocket engine or a propeller, which only allows for the possibility that it could be some sort of Da Vinci pedal-operated flying machine that makes no engine sounds, just like a poorly lubricated squeak, which might explain the shrieking noises. Now, how to explain the bloody eyes and burning eyes the witnesses experienced after the witness entrancing red glows and being exposed to high levels of UV radiation. That one.
I mean, that's just like, come on, man. It's like, okay, give me the most unlikely scenario.
Right. That one's just too much.
Right. And then to sum it all up, to say what it is, it's unknown. Simply put, not everything can be explained. Sometimes a weird occurrence or series of them has no easy explanation, or at least one blanket explanation to cover them all. Perhaps each witness experienced some kind of buffet sampling of one of many explanations aforementioned, or maybe it was something new entirely. Maybe science hasn't caught up to what strange things exist in this world, and that the Mothman is just one of those items. What we do know is that there is a definite air of mystery in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, whether it's man-made, natural, supernatural, or it's interesting, and definitely worth poking around at. Now that I like.
Yeah, that one, that's the one, you know?
I mean, here at Subtle Beast, I mean, that's what we're all about, is the unknown. We may not have all the answers, but we're going to cover the topic and then give out the information on what we know.
We delve into subjects that we find fascinating that are unknown.
Right, and the Mothman is no exception, and I love the topic, and I'm glad we finally got around to, you know, putting this episode together, because it's a great topic.
What if the Mothman made an appearance at our annual camping trip?
Well, then we will definitely talk about this, or maybe the Mothman will show up when you're on your way to where are you headed to?
Yeah, that's right. We get the plateau, the
observation decks.
Yeah, the observation deck, the triangle in the Lake Michigan.
Right. All joking aside, though, when Steve and I were discussing this topic, it was really funny because I came across this festival where they celebrate the Mothman every year in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. So I had sent the information to Steve. I think it was maybe like the night or two before we left for New York City.
Yeah.
And when we got together, I was like, so what'd you think about that festival? He was like, I don't know. It was so weird. He didn't even know how to respond. But I thought it was interesting that it's coming up here in September. And I'm thinking Subtle Beast needs to be down there.
Yeah, it's like September 16th and 17th down in West Virginia in Point Pleasant. They have the huge statue of the Mothman. And from the pictures that I could see of the festival, it looks like a really great time.
It really does.
But when you sent me the information, it was so much for me to take in. I was researching the subject, and I thought, I don't even know how to respond to this.
Right. But if you guys have liked this podcast on the Mothman, and if you like you know, our podcast altogether, if you think that we should make a trip down to this festival and do a little bit more and talk to some of the locals about the Mothman, let us know on our Facebook page, because you know, we'll do what we can to try and make that happen, because that would be interesting, I think.
I think it would be a cool festival to attend, for sure.
Definitely. So, I mean, that's all I got for the Mothman tonight. Steve, you got anything else to add? Or
man, I really enjoyed talking about it. It's spooky. It somehow irks me. You know, we've kind of hashed over all of it. The Angel of Death, the whole... every imaginable explanation for it. So I think that we did it justice.
I think so too. So, you know, let us know what you think about this podcast out on our Facebook page, because we'll have a link out there. If you have some information about the Mothman, or if you have had an experience with the Mothman, please reach out to us, because we'd like to reach out to you then and, you know, pick your brain a little bit about what your experience was. Or if you don't believe that the Mothman is an actual thing, give us, you know, your rundown of what you think that it may be. No wrong answers, just a lot of fun to be had out on the Facebook page. And, you know, share a podcast with your friends and family. It's helped keep this conversation going. And
just a reminder to everyone, if you haven't reviewed us yet on iTunes, go out there and post up a review of what you think of Subtle Beast.
Yeah, please do that. That really helps us along and helps us with some of our material. We really enjoy covering the topics of the unknown. It's fascinating to us, and we hope that you're enjoying it. And let's just try and get as many people in on the conversation as we can. But having said that, until next time, I'm Foltz.
And I'm Steve.
And we'll see you next time. Take care of one another. Bye-bye.